Hey, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Danny Morrell Show. This one is special because in the world of business, we all have aspirations, we all have goals, we all want to achieve greatness, and quite frankly, we all want to learn how to figure that out and how to make it happen. And one of the best ways to make that happen is to go out and learn from and expose yourself to business people who have run businesses at the highest level imaginable. And that, my friend, is who I have for you today. I'd like to introduce you to a personal friend of mine and a business partner of mine, Mr. Michael Margolies. Is that how you say it?
That is.
Awesome. Yep. Michael, say hello.
Hello.
So, Michael, you got a bunch of people watching you
okay. That
maybe have never seen you before, because you're one of those entrepreneurs that's kind of like behind the scenes.
I try my best.
You're the real deal, right? You're not out in the public. You make the deals happen, and you just kind of collect the dough. That's what you do, right?
I don't do any interviews. So
you don't do any interviews.
He snagged me.
But for me and for us, you're going to help us out.
We will help you out.
By the way, shout out to Intero, because you guys are watching us live right now, right? Say hello to Michael, guys. This is a big one. Get everybody to watch this right now, please.
Hey, guys.
So, Michael, give us a little background. What do you do? Tell me about yourself.
Well, I was a Wall Street guy.
What does that mean?
Like, means you? I started on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, working for a guy named Carl Icahn.
Time out. Carl Icahn.
Yeah.
Do you guys know who Carl Icahn is? That's a big deal. Who's Carl Icahn?
Who is he now, or who is he then?
Who is he now?
Well, now he's a guy that's probably worth about $16, $18 billion. He manages a lot of money and owns a lot of companies, and he's been a very successful businessman. I mean, he's in his mid-80s. I worked for him in 82. He was literally just starting out, really, at the age of 50-something, which is interesting enough. But anyway, I became a partner at Oppenheimer. I've done a lot of things, mostly finance and Wall Street related, bought and sold thousands of companies, public securities, and built a few of my own companies and sold them. And currently I have a small family office, for lack of a better word, and we own 7 companies. We own and manage 7 companies. We had 12, and I've sold some, and now I have 7. And they range from death care, meaning funeral homes, cemeteries, to firearms. We manufacture guns, and I know Danny because we are involved in the mortgage business, and we are involved with him here at Rise Mortgage. In California.
And so, you know, it's kind of interesting the way he makes it sound. You know, I've bought and sold thousands of companies, and, you know, now I own 7 of them. Michael, that's kind of like a big deal.
It's all relative, but it's what I know how to do, which is pretty much what Danny wanted to talk about today,
right?
Which is, the theme is to be a learner. And that would be the only thing that I could tell you if I had to give any advice to anybody, which I do pretty much to my children who don't listen to it anyway, is I say be a lifelong learner, especially today. Because I could tell you, when I was a little boy, they had elevator operators, and they had information operators, and they had people that pumped the gas for your car, and many, many jobs on Wall Street that don't even exist anymore because they've been disintermediated. Travel agents. Does anybody have a travel agent anymore?
No.
Probably not, but there used to be one at every corner in this country, because when you had to buy an airline ticket, you had to go to a travel agent. You
absolutely.
Maybe even, are you old enough to remember that? Maybe
I remember a little bit. Right? I remember a little bit, yes.
So what I'm saying is, and before that there were blacksmiths, and, you know, all kinds of things that you might have read about. But you need to be a lifelong learner. And the world today is exponentially changing way, way faster than it ever has, which is really why I've evolved. I used to do a lot of technology businesses and biotech and things like that. And I do invest in them periodically in small amounts, but my primary businesses today are enduring businesses. They're guns, firearms, death care, logistics. We ship most of Amazon's packages to South and Central America.
Awesome.
They're businesses that are old school, old world businesses, but we do them in a fairly high tech way. But they're things that can't be replaced by, you know, Danny used to use GoToMeeting, now he uses Zoom.
Right.
And that was a snap decision. And
fast.
Zoom wasn't even in existence
2 years ago. Right. Yeah, right, right.
So you're living in a very, very fast world that is accelerating exponentially because of the power of machine learning. And what machine learning is doing is it's putting unbelievable stress on people to really become better learners.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're going to be machined right out of a job.
Right.
And I'm sure everybody on this call, if you're real estate related, 100% of the buyers you reach, they've already looked at their property online.
Just so you know, our audience, entrepreneurs.
Got it.
Of all kinds.
Okay.
And so
I didn't know that.
So I want to pick your brain on a couple of things, okay?
Go ahead.
Number one, just to show people the level of business that you have been a part of.
Uh-huh.
Your highest valued sale of a company was what?
Recently or in this
full time
in my whole life?
Yeah.
North of $1 billion.
So you were a part of a transaction.
Yes.
Where you sold a company.
Yes.
For north of $1 billion.
Yes. $7 million of invested dollars went to $1 billion of equity. It was
a great return.
Yeah, pretty good.
That's a pretty good return.
You think?
Yeah. How did you do that? Did you basically take a bad company and turn it around and?
There was a lot of leverage.
A lot of leverage.
The timing was right.
Okay.
And I mean, I could give you a more recent one.
Give me a more recent one, sure. And
about 7 years ago, we put some money into a company called Liberator Medical.
Okay.
You probably see their TV commercials. They sell catheters. And we bought about half the company for $7 million and just sold it for $95 million.
Oh.
And then we've had quite a few of those kind of things, but they're not easy to come by, and timing has to be right. That investment was made, you know, 2008, 2009. We made three or four of those at that time, and they all worked out tremendously because cyclicality, timing, pricing is important. And but we grew the business from $1 million in revenue to $80 million in revenue. So you have to execute as well.
Okay, hang on, hold that thought, guys, because this is what I want to talk about. You grew it from $1 million in revenue to $80 million in revenue.
Correct.
Okay, that means that somebody used to own that company.
That's right.
And only got $1 million a year worth of juice out of it. And you, for whatever reason, were able to take the same people, the same structure, and get $80 million a year in revenue out of it.
Yes.
That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about 2 to 3 key points that if you were to give an up-and-coming entrepreneur, right,
yeah,
what would they be?
Well,
read that book.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then when you're done reading it, read it again.
Read it again.
And then when you're done reading that again, read it again.
Okay.
Because most of the key concepts that you'd need to run a successful operation are simply laid out in that book. It's the who first, and then the what. And then creating a repeatable process to replicate your success. And many people fall down on that because, look, I've done it too. I have been in situations and started businesses when I was younger and did not know enough to find the best people and did not know enough to know what I didn't know and did not know enough to get help when you need help. And
how important is help? How important is guidance, is coaching, is mentorship, is
everything?
And would you agree when I say that typically ego is what gets in the way of that?
For sure.
100%.
The two most dangerous combinations in business, and I've been in business since 1980.
Write this down, please.
Arrogance and ignorance.
Oh my God. Say that again.
Arrogance and ignorance.
Can I stop you real fast?
Yeah.
All the local realtors, this is just because this is my field. Did you hear what he just said? Arrogance and ignorance,
combined.
Right? Combined. That's deadly.
Deadly.
Okay, so give me examples of that.
Well, the world is littered with it. I mean, if you don't know what you don't know and don't want to know it, and you're arrogant about it, you're going to fail. Especially today, because in today's world, there's no hiding. It's really hard to hide.
Yeah.
And, you know, the cycles are fast, and, you know, it quickly becomes evident to everybody who's swimming without a bathing suit on.
Hmm.
And who's a bullshitter and who isn't. So, you know, in my job, I mean, I look at businesses every day. That's what we do for a living. People come to us and they put some money in my company, but 80% of them, they just want your money and they don't want any help. And they're too arrogant and ignorant to understand that they're the problem.
Hmm.
I have identified the enemy and it's us. And this is the issue. In most of these things, you get into situations where a guy builds a business, it gets to a certain size, and he doesn't realize that he is the business. And most of these entrepreneurs are very talented people to a level.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just not going to usually get to the next level. Look, we have a gun company, and we took it up.
Tell them what you just told me about who you just hired.
Right. So I'm going to tell you the story.
Mm-hmm.
So we got invested in this gun company about 4 years ago. We put in some processes, we put in some capital, we helped it along. The entrepreneur was able to get it from where we bought it from to about 7x.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Everybody's high-fiving, everybody's feeling good. But now I'm 4 years more educated in the industry, been to SHOT Show every year. I read every periodical. I've talked to everybody in the business because I didn't know much about that business. And part of what I do is educate myself, try to immerse myself in the businesses that I'm in to try to understand them better. And I have an analytical team that does the same. You met one of them today.
Absolutely.
And
He's smart.
165 IQ.
Oh, that's like really smart.
Yeah. Stanford MBA.
Oh.
These guys are the real deal. I hire only the best people. I've got four guys like that okay. work with me.
Okay, good.
That's what we do because the numbers don't lie. We want to get to the numbers. But he was hitting his ceiling. Personality defects, limitations on his own, whatever he would want to learn. And it was time for him to go. So we put in the former chairman of Remington.
Which is a big company.
Remington is the biggest.
So you went out, you made an investment.
Correct.
Right? You put your money where your mouth was, right?
Correct.
Because the end game is really the game.
Correct.
And you went out and found the best, bought him in, and now that person runs the company now.
He is there. Correct.
Love it.
He was the guy that built literally the biggest firearms company in the country, which is Remington right now. Remington owns a lot of brands you probably heard
yeah.
of.
Yeah.
But Remington is owned by a guy like us. only way bigger than us. Hmm. Remington is owned by Cerberus, if you know what that name is. It's one of the larger private equity firms in the world. So what I'm trying to say is that if you're entrepreneurial, if you're an entrepreneur, if you have a small company, you have deficiencies. You may be the salesman at your company, or you may be the guy that designed the widget who can't sell. But to thine own self, you better be true.
Hmm.
And you better figure out what you're good at and what you're not good at. And even though you think you may not be able to afford to hire that great sales guy or that great accountant or that great CFO
or coach,
whatever it is,
or mentor,
yeah,
right?
Whatever it is,
right?
You can't, probably in many cases, you can't afford not to.
So, talk to me about the importance of tracking and knowing your numbers.
Yeah, so numbers are basically everything, only because what you need to do is you need to document your own reality. And you can't live in a world of delusion. And in business, that's just deadly. That's just another form of ignorance. And you have to understand what your KPIs are, your key performance indicators. You have to understand what your numbers are. And you really have to dig in and know the business that you're in. You'd be surprised. We're in the funeral home and cemetery business, and there's only two metrics that matter in that business. And when you talk to the funeral directors, they'll give you their top 10 metrics, but eight of them don't matter. So it's exactly the 80-20 rule.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're selling or whatever you're doing, 80% is a waste of time. And 20% is getting the business done.
Mm-hmm.
And if you further refine that, that's called the Pareto principle, by the way. It's a mathematical principle. And if you 80-20 the 80-20,
yeah.
You come up with 96-4. And I live my life in 96-4. I mean, I let the Ian guys, the guys that work for me, they do a lot of that other stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm hiking or skiing or whatever at 1 o'clock.
I love it. I got it.
And I'm focusing on 4%.
What can you do?
Stuff like I came here.
Well, like today. Yeah.
Right, exactly. I came here. I flew here. I did here.
Right.
You know, because we have something to accomplish.
Absolutely.
And that 4% that we just did today
was the most valuable thing that you can do.
Of course.
So I'm going to ask you something, and I'm going to put myself on the spot here. Because we obviously have an interest in a company together right now.
Yeah.
And I talk about being coachable.
Right.
I talk about making fast business decisions.
Yeah.
I talk about being flexible.
Yeah.
I talk about making adjustments. You came here today. This is real now. This is real. You came here today and you said, Danny, A, B, C, D.
Right.
How long did it take me to make the adjustments that you felt we should make? Did I ponder over it? Did I act?
Well, you acted quickly.
Quickly.
I think you knew what the issues were.
Yeah.
And I had you at hello.
Yeah.
And you were.
Well, it's because I trust you.
And you were ready to do the right thing.
And I want to win.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So right. I mean, but that's, again, and you know, you've got to be willing to document your reality.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not stopping and executing off of, you know, 60 or 90 or 100 day plans and really reassessing what you're doing periodically and really making sure that where you're going is where you want to be going,
mm-hmm.
and asking yourself over and over again, what do I get if I win? What am I getting?
Right, what?
Which is what we did today.
Yeah, yeah.
We make a little money,
yeah,
but not enough.
Right.
What am I getting if I'm winning? And how much am I winning?
And you go focus on that and making that happen.
Exactly.
I got it.
Let's no different than a good athlete would do. Let's go a little faster.
Got it.
Let's pick up the form. Let's make some tweaks. Let's make some improvements. Let's get a second baseman.
Yes.
You know, we got a hole in the lineup.
Right.
Whatever it takes, all successful winning organizations have similar strategy. It's called adapt or die.
Hmm.
period. And that's, nature is the perfect example for that. It is always adapting or it would die.
I know you have to run, but I want to give exclusive access for two questions to our team.
Yep, go. I got
10 minutes. 10 minutes. And Taro, here's what I want from you, okay? I want the best question you can think of, because you have access right now to somebody that, quite frankly, you wouldn't have access to if it wasn't for this relationship that we have. Top 7%, get ready. I'm actually going to create a private dinner for us and Michael so we can learn and talk business at a level you've never been exposed to before, all right? What questions do you have right now that you can ask Michael? I don't need you to think about it. I need you to act and act fast and get these questions over to me as soon as possible, all right? As soon as possible. And if they're not gonna act, then I'm going to ask you a question, all right? So my question is this: if a salesperson or business person or entrepreneur out there was not achieving what they wanted to achieve from their business, what's the quickest thing that they can do to adjust?
Well, I mean, you have to analyze what their process is.
Okay.
And I think that most salespeople, if they're any good, and they have then they actually like to sell. I mean, some salespeople, they just don't like what they do.
Right.
And I think that's just, they shouldn't be salespeople.
That's a problem, right?
But they need to analyze their process, and most of them just are not spending enough time selling. They're spending a lot of time doing things that are make work, busy work.
Right.
And not really selling. The other thing is, you know, organization and preparation is really kind of everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I try to keep myself very organized and very focused on what I have to do, and I do the hardest things first every day. Like, there are some things that I kind of am not crazy about doing, because the truth is all the junk shows up on my desk. I mean, I have 7 CEOs in 7 companies that I have.
Right.
And the stuff that they don't want to do
goes to you.
Goes to me.
But that's the same, because I run a real estate organization.
Right,
that's the same thing, like real estate agents messing with their files and doing all that instead of going out there and selling. Would you agree?
Yeah, because like I say, look, in the funeral home business, two things matters. Two things, right? Number of calls, meaning deaths, and average dollar per call.
That's it.
That's it. The rest is coffee talk. So in the real estate business, there are probably two things that matter. Number of listings. And I don't know I don't know the business.
Yeah. You know, it's probably number of calls you're making.
Yep.
Your conversion ratio.
Yep.
And then your conversion ratio on the appointments.
Yeah, now the conversion ratio is a derivative. So there's got to be a second thing that you do that drives another derivative. Throw out the derivatives.
Okay.
Because the derivative is going to come from the action.
Well, what we track, hours prospected, contacts made,
right.
Appointments set.
Right, but those, again, the thing that's going to make the business is number of calls.
Number of calls, got it.
Because everything else is a derivative of that.
Of the number of calls.
Right.
So you're saying literally to me, if we were to boil it down, it'd be number of calls.
Yeah.
That's it.
The derivatives are going to stay the same. Now, you can refine your process to increase your conversion rates.
Okay.
You can refine your process to get more physical appointments or whatever the derivatives are.
Of the action.
Right. But
okay.
The action is the action.
Period, end of story.
Yeah, either you're doing it or you're not.
Or you're not.
Either you're making babies or you're not.
Right. That's a good example. I like that example.
I got 7
Which
kids.
You got 7 kids.
Right.
So
I can use that example because it's either you're doing it or you're not.
Right, I got it.
You
okay.
know, when people say to me, oh, we're thinking about having another kid, I say, well, you know how that works, right?
Right. You can't think. You got to start acting.
You gotta act.
I love it.
Right, so I mean, you know, everything in life, at any minute in time, you're either walking towards the light or you're walking towards the darkness. And I don't mean that.
Can you all write that one down?
I don't mean that in so much in a biblical sense, although that's where it comes from, so to speak.
And Lauren, write that one down. We're going to use that
one. I'm not a religious nut or anything, but I'm just saying either you're actually doing the action that you know is the right action.
Right.
Either you're doing the right thing.
Right.
Or you're not.
Got it.
Don't kid yourself ever into thinking, I could stand around, I'll do it tomorrow, I could do this half-ass. That is not the way you're going to succeed. And there is discipline involved in that, and there's a mindset involved in that. And there is an action-oriented state of mind involved in that. And, I don't know, your average age here is what, 40?
32.
So how old would you think you people would be when you're old? 70?
Yeah.
So 30, 40, 56, 40 years times 365 is how many?
A lot.
Not really.
12,000?
Days.
Days.
That you have left on this earth. Days, 12,000 days, that's what you got. I got a lot less, because I'm almost 60.
Got it.
So, I mean, how many days you got, ladies and gentlemen?
And what are you doing with them?
Yeah, and what are you doing with them? I know it sounds kind of weird, but it's an eye-opener.
It really is.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a lot of days.
I'm gonna stop you there.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time. Intero, top 7%, get ready. We're going to have a private dinner with Michael very soon.
Whenever you want.
Whenever I want.
I'll fly in.
Like next week you'll fly in.
Absolutely.
Top 7%, get ready. Lauren, let them know. For all of you watching the Danny Morrell Show, I want to say thank you for watching. Any message for everybody out there?
No. I mean, listen, just be a learner. I mean, that's the message. The message is be a lifelong learner.
Awesome.
And find somebody you can learn from and read books. I mean, you can learn everything now. It's all online. All you got to do is figure out a course. I don't mean a course like a college course. I mean a course for your life.
Right.
And follow it, every day.
Awesome. That's it. See you next time, everybody. Let's connect on Instagram and Facebook. And thanks again for watching. Bye-bye.
All right.